Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Wasn't that great? And all of y'all sang along too. That was super. I couldn't sing, so I was listening to everybody. If I start singing, I'm afraid I'll cough. So we won't do that. So I'm also very, very happy that Cindy, Pastor Cindy's with us today, and she's got a lesson for us, and we're looking forward to it, and she's looking forward to doing it. There you go. I guess so. So come on up. God bless
you. All right. Thank you. I did it. Well, I'm going to start out by telling you, I decided I was going to be like Pastor Steve today, and I was going to tell a joke. So I had to Google, because I don't know very many jokes, so I was going to Google a joke about the subject we're talking about, which is not being offended. The very first thing I tried to on Google, I pushed the, so like 200 jokes about being offended, and I pushed it, and it said, must be 18 to access this website. I thought, okay, we'll just skip the joke. Could have got myself in trouble. Thought, well, obviously I don't need to tell a joke today. Or maybe I should have put clean jokes about being offended. That's probably why I didn't do that. So anyway, I titled this Chill Out just because people are so easily offended this day and time, it seems like. And this little picture has been going around Facebook, and I thought it was kind of funny that, you know, for no particular reason, we become offended about everything. All of a sudden, we just, you know, everybody gets offended about stuff. So I wanted to talk about how we can maybe not be offended so easily, things we can do to avoid that. So I looked up 8 habits of ridiculously relaxed people, because I figure if we're ridiculously relaxed, we're not going to be quite so easy to be offended, because usually people who are offended are kind of uptight and anxious and but I will tell you, this did not come from some Harvard school of psychology or anything like that. This came from a Canadian writer named Catherine Winter, and this is just her opinion, basically. So I just wanted to preface it that this is not some scientific thing. But in her mind, she says that ridiculously relaxed people, they take care of themselves. It's good to take care of yourself. I think that does help. They aren't slaves to their phones. Oops. That might get some of us. They establish healthy boundaries. They avoid social media. That gets the rest of us. Kind of in trouble now. They exercise, especially outside. Did my numbers get messed up there? No, just on here. Okay. They appreciate the little things, and they're in the moment. And what she meant by this was, you know, sometimes we go out to eat with our spouse or something, and Brian and I do this. I try to, when we go into a restaurant, I try to sit him with the TV to his back. And so that, you know, he's looking at me and not looking at the ball game. Usually it's a football game or something, even if it's a rerun. So I try to do that. But she's talking about being in the moment, no TV, enjoying a meal, enjoying the flavor of the food, enjoying the company, not looking at your phones and all that kind of stuff. So enjoying the moment helps you to be relaxed, she says. And she says that ridiculously relaxed people are comfortable with unexpected setbacks. It kind of sets them up to kind of take things and just let it flow. And then she says they approach life with authenticity and gratitude. And I really thought this one should be the first one, because I think thankful people and people who look at the things, the blessings in their life, are more relaxed and more, they're harder to offend, I guess I should say. So then I looked up 5 characteristics of an easily offended person. And this lady, this is from a Christian viewpoint. She is the daughter and granddaughter of missionaries to the Congo. She is a Bible study teacher. And so this is what she said. She said that most people who are easily offended, it's all about them. Have you noticed that? It's all about, they filter everything through their lens and how it affects them. They get angry quickly and often. So some of us who kind of have a short fuse have to work a little bit harder at this because it doesn't help to get angry quickly and often. They are impatient. Most angry people are impatient, too. They hold a grudge. And she says they have low self-esteem. Would you say that's true, Becky? Okay, because I thought maybe they felt like they were too self-important. But, okay. I knew Becky would know when I saw this. I thought, is this true? So, you know, that's what she said. So, the definition of offended is to cause a person or a group to feel hurt, angry, or upset about something said or done. And I know that, and just speaking for myself, I don't necessarily get angry, but I do get hurt. So if I'm hurt, that's what I kind of get offended. So one way to avoid offense is to give people the benefit of the doubt. We don't do that enough. Give people the benefit of the doubt. Proverbs 19:11 said, a person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. And that word glory there, that's an attribute of God. Don't you want to have that in your life? You want to be able to, it's your glory to overlook an offense. And as humans, we don't give people the benefit of the doubt near enough. I have a tendency not to do that. Brian helps me a lot because sometimes I'll look at a text or an email and I'll think, oh, I can't believe they said that. Or I can't, you know, and Brian will say, well, it depends. Did they say that? You know, oh, hey, or did they say that? You know, how do you think they meant, how do you think they really would have said this in person? And I'll go, oh, okay, well, you know. So sometimes you have to have outside help if you're kind of that temperament that you might be offended easily. And then, you know, just misinterpreting a text or an email like that, if you might need help there. I had a boss who I really thought was kind of gouging me sometimes because he had hired me from Fort Worth to work in Plano. And as many of you know, I drove to Plano for almost 5 years, 4 years. And he kept saying, okay, when we had open positions, well, we've got to make sure we hire somebody close to that center. We've got to make sure that they don't have a long way to drive. And I thought, why is he saying this? Because I'm the one that's driving the longest way. I've been very careful not to ever complain about the drive. I've been very careful to always be to work on time and not blame traffic. I've been, you know, because I didn't want him to ever regret it. But he said it so many times, I thought, have I been a bad example of somebody who travels to work every day? So one, and it was really bothering me. And I was offended, just to be honest. I was pretty offended. So I just went in his office one day. I said, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? And he said, yeah. And I said, do you regret bringing me over here from Fort Worth? And he goes, no. Why would you even ask such a thing? And I said, well, because you keep making references about people driving. He said, well, I think most people would have a hard time with the drive and might not stay. He goes, you're different. But I just, you know, he said, but no, this isn't a dig at you at all. So I had to just, sometimes it helps just to go clear it up. Hey, this is what I'm hearing. This is what I think is happening. Is this true? And let them say yes or no, you know, and kind of speak to that. So we have to not jump to conclusions. Don't jump to conclusions. We do that, and that gets us in trouble. Abram jumped to conclusions. He was told to enter, as he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but let you live. He assumed, because Sarai was beautiful, that, and I don't know, maybe they had a history or something like that, but he jumped to that conclusion that I've got to do something to fix this. So he jumped to a conclusion there. The other day at work, we were on a Zoom, not a Zoom call, we do it Teams meetings, but it's the same thing as Zoom. You're on there and you can see other people usually. We're past that. We don't care to see each other. So we just have a picture up and we just hear each other's voices. But we were talking. It's an hour meeting every Thursday and it was going on. And every once in a while I would insert something and my boss just kind of just went by it. I mean, he wasn't paying attention to anything I said. And I was thinking, wow, well, I'm real important. You know, nobody cares what I have to say. You know, you start feeling sorry for yourself. And you sit there and one time he even started talking over me. I thought, good grief. And then I looked up and I had myself on mute. So then I started laughing. So then I realized what I had done. So at the end, he said, okay, let's do a round table. Cindy, do you have anything to say? And I said, yes, I do. I said, I have been talking and talking, and nobody's been paying any attention to me, and you just talked over me. And I said, and then I realized I was on mute. Well, half the people started laughing, but he was offended that I would think he would treat me that way. He was like, I would never do that to you. I can't believe you thought I would do that to you. And I said, I know, I really know you wouldn't, but that's just the first thing that came to my head. I thought, good grief. So we have to be careful about taking offense because sometimes it's our fault. Sometimes we think we know what's going on, but then we realize the truth of the matter. Don't assume you know the intent of someone's heart. You don't know the intent of somebody's heart. There's no way you possibly could. You think you do, but you don't. Romans 8:6 says, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. Wow. Life and peace. That's what we need to have. You know, spirit versus flesh, death versus life there. Our flesh wants to find wrong in others. It really does. Our flesh wants to be superior. That's the flesh in us, the evil in us wants to do that. And it's better to admit sometimes when you're, you know, a lot of people don't want to admit when they're wrong. That's offensive too, while we're talking about it. But it's better just to say, hey, I'm wrong, instead of looking like a doofus, and people know you don't know what you're talking about, but you just keep going, you know, trying to do it. Sometimes when people ignore us, we get offended. The other day, I was at home, and this isn't about you. Brian's like, got a look on his face like, what did I do? This is not about Brian. No, I was home, and every day I get ready, and when I put my shoes on, and I'm walking through the house to grab my bag and go out the door, the dog knows. To go to the back door, I let her out. We're done. Well, when it's cold outside, she doesn't want to go out. So she sits in the chair. She will not make eye contact. She will look straight ahead, and it's almost like she's looking at me through the corner of her eye. And I'll say, you want to go outside? And she just looks straight ahead, and she'll just do this even more, you know, hunker down a little bit more. So she's totally ignoring me, but I'm not offended because she's a dog, right? But we think people should be on a higher plane than that and should treat us better, but sometimes maybe they don't hear us. I was talking to a gentleman at work the other day, and he said, he just kept looking at me, and I thought, well, and he goes, honey, I'm hard of hearing. Oh, okay. Now I understand, you know. So we just don't assume that we're being ignored, but, you know, try to really give people the benefit of that doubt there. She said, convince yourself. Sometimes we have to convince ourselves that that person did not mean to be mean to us. That person did not mean to offend us. We have to because sometimes it's a convincing act. Because sometimes you think deep down, oh, they really did. They really did mean to get me. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I have noticed over my life that when I am offended, easily offended by something, I haven't been having my mind renewed. It's me. I'm not where I'm supposed to be with the Lord when I am easily offended. Because if I'm where I'm supposed to be with the Lord, his Holy Spirit helps me to see things for what they really are. It helps me to, overlook some things that I should. Because, you know, I'm trying to think about when I'm offended, about how often is it really me? Probably 98% of the time. If I had to think back, because you automatically go to the worst. You got to convince yourself sometimes by that renewing of your mind of what the truth truly is. And you're responsible for your response. We live in an age today where people think they don't take any responsibility for anything. They want to go out and act crazy. They go out and act crazy because of the way the world is or whatever. But we are responsible for our response in every situation. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." That taking captive, this is a job. This is not an easy thing to take our thoughts captive, because if you're like me, I mean, it would scare y'all to death to know what goes on in my head. It really is scary. It's just all over the place sometimes. So we have to take that captive and make that line up. It's like it's a war is what it is. And, you know, if you knew what was going on in my mind, you would think she is crazy. You might think that anyway, but you would really think that if you knew what was going on in my head. So our actions typically follow our thoughts. It's a heart problem. We're thinking about it, and then we act out on it, usually. So if you look at the world today, we see that happening all over the place. So we've got to take those thoughts captive. And we should also be careful not to cause offense. Now, I'm going to preface this by saying sometimes just your stand for Christianity may cause offense. Well, that's okay. You know, that's going to happen. We can't hide and just go along with what everybody says just because we're so afraid to offend somebody. I'm not saying that. But there are times when it's really not necessary and we can avoid it, and we should when that happens. Because this is what Matthew 17:27, this is what Jesus says. He says, "But so that we may not cause offense, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4-drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours." Jesus knew that just his presence caused offense. I mean, he knew that. But he didn't find it necessary to cause unnecessary offense. I mean, if he could avoid it, he would. And that, so he said there, you know, let's just avoid this unnecessary offense. So if it doesn't matter, don't make it an issue. If it matters, of course, stand for it. So in conclusion, we need to give people the benefit of the doubt. Don't jump to conclusions. Don't assume you know the intent of someone's heart. Convince yourself of the truth. You're responsible for your response. And we should be careful not to give offense if we can help it. So this was just something that's been going over in my heart. I don't, you know if it's because of the day and time we are in. I know that last night I even woke up and added another point to it. So middle of the night I woke up and I thought, okay. So I grabbed my iPad, I wrote it down to make sure I wouldn't forget it. So let's just pray that the Lord would help us just to be a people worthy of his calling, and that we would not be easily offended folks. So Lord, we just come before you very thankful that you love us, that you take care of us, that you want us to be the example that we need to be. And Father, when we are not close to you and when we are easily offended by things, we're not the example we should be. So Father, I ask that you help each one of us. If there are things in our heart or in our life right now that we're offended by, that is an incorrect thing, and our hearts just jump to conclusions or gone the wrong way, Father, I pray that you would just bring that to our remembrance and help us to realize that we have just got to overlook it. We've got to get past it. Maybe we need clarification on the subject. Whatever it may be, lead us and guide us through these things that we go through as human beings. Father, I ask that you bless each and every one here, Father, and that you just let us be that example you have for us. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.